Today we're bringing to a close the section where Paul gives us encouragement and warning concerning the believer's warfare, the spiritual warfare. Last week we talked about the battle against demons. The week before that, the enemy, who is Satan. And we talked about how powerful Satan is and how full of subtle devices and how powerful and forceful the enemy can be, the demon world that works for Satan. But today we want to talk about the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, the victory that enables us to stand firm in Christ. We want to talk about the armor, and we're going to look at that in detail in verses 14 through 18. But today we just want to say that the armor needs to be put on before it's useful. We need to put it on and we need to take it up. So what do those things mean? To put on the armor of God, we've already said in our study so far concerning the armor of God, Paul says put on the full armor of God. We've already said that it's not our armor, it's God's armor. He provided it. He gave it to each one of us the moment we got saved. It's available to us every single day in this battle against Satan. And it is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us His armor. And because it's not our armor, but His armor, it is all we need. It's all-sufficient armor. It is powerful enough to pull down strongholds and cast down imaginations, to defeat Satan and all the enemies that we could possibly have. We can have victory. We can stand firm. We can withstand in the evil day. We are living in the evil day. We'll mention that later. But the armor needs to be put on, even though it's available to us, even though it's given to us the moment we are saved. We need to put it on. We need to take it up. Why? Because we are soldiers of the cross. We are spiritual soldiers on a battlefield that is this world. And so the world, the flesh, and the devil are working against us, but we can put on and take up, verses 11 and 13, the armor of God. God's people, we are at war, and we continue to be at war until Christ returns. And this, folks, this age that we live in, this time period that we're living in, it is not time for complacency. It's not time to look around and say, you know what, I don't feel like fighting, so I'm just going to sit around and wait for Jesus to come. I'm just going to relax and take it easy and forget that there's a warfare going on and pretend that there isn't. And if I have some battles that I lose and I give into some temptation and I don't quite do the things that I should do as a Christian, I'll just make excuses. Lord, I'm just one person. I don't make a whole lot of difference. Or I'm so weak, Lord. You know I'm weak. So I'm just going to sit this one out. I'm going to sit this battle out and just wait for you to return. It's not a time for excuses. And it's no time for complacency because, listen, folks, the way we respond in battle determines the way we are winning others to the Lord. Our witnessing is determined by how well we do in battle. And when the world, the unsaved world, sees us winning, they see us on the winning side and they see us victoriously living for the Lord Jesus Christ and they see Christ shining through us, that will be a calling card to them as the Holy Spirit draws them unto Jesus. And so it's not a time for complacency. As Paul exhorts Timothy, he says to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that grace is available to every single one of us. We're not only saved by grace, but we live by grace. And he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Endure hardness as a good soldier, that you might live a life that is pleasing to him that hath chosen you to be a soldier. Doesn't that have a special ring to it? Doesn't that sound good to your ears to know that God has chosen you to be one of his soldiers? God has chosen you to be on the battlefield for his namesake, to endure the conflicts of this world and come out on the victory side for the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. As we study, everything is for the glory of God, that God may shine in all the world so that all the world may know that he is God. So we've already mentioned, again, that the whole armor of God is available to every Christian. From the moment you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have the truth of the gospel in your heart. You are saved by truth. You have the truth. We have the righteousness of Christ clothing us as a breastplate of armor. The righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but he has given us the ability to live holy and righteously in this world, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He's given us that ability because we have been crucified with him. We've become dead to sin and alive unto God, so that we have the ability now to present our bodies, the members of our bodies, as instruments of righteousness unto God. And when we live for God, when we are victorious in Jesus Christ, when we defeat the enemy by resisting the devil and resisting the temptation and saying yes to God, again, we shine for the glory of God. The righteousness of Jesus is seen through us. We have the truth. We have his righteousness. We have the knowledge of the gospel of peace. If you didn't have the knowledge of the gospel, you wouldn't be saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Through the word of God, you hear the truth and you hear the gospel message that Jesus Christ came into this world, died for your sins, rose again from the dead, and is at the right hand of God today. We have the gospel of peace that's available to us. We know that. We know what it is. We can share it with others. We have faith, our shield, very important weapon. A defensive weapon for the soldier is his shield, his armor-based shield. Without faith, we couldn't be saved. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're saved by faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So we have these things. We have everything. We have the full armor of God. We have salvation, the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our helmet. What I consider to be one of the most important pieces of the armor is the helmet that protects the vital head area of the soldier. And we have the privilege of prayer always. Prayer, as we come into the presence of God boldly at any time, praying and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All the prayer that we can pray is available to us. The armor of God, the whole armor of God, we have it. We have it. But we need to put it on, and we need to take it up. Just because we have access to it, just because it's there, just because it's available to us, doesn't mean that we use it. Did you ever lose a battle? I'm talking about a spiritual battle. We all have. Every single one of us have lost some spiritual battles. And the reason we lost the spiritual battles is because we did not put on and take up the armor of God. We were not prepared to resist the devil. We were not prepared to stand against him. We were not prepared to withstand and hold our ground against him because we didn't put on and take up the armor. So what does that mean? That's what I want to talk to you about today. And really, they're very simple terms. Everyone here, even the children, are going to be able to understand this because putting on the whole armor of God is really a simple idea. Taking it up is a simple idea. Putting on the armor of God is just like putting on a piece of clothing. Putting on, the word put on, the phrase put on, means to slip into your clothing or to slip into your armor. Every day we need to to slip into the spiritual readiness of a soldier, the spiritual readiness to resist Satan, the spiritual readiness to resist temptation. We need to put it on. We need to slip into it like a piece of clothing. Paul used the same term when he said in Ephesians 4:24, put on the new man. Put on the new man. Be clothed with the new man. You know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So put this on. Become this soldier of Christ that is equipped with the new man of righteousness and true holiness. Also over in Romans 13:14, Paul says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have him with you when you go out the door in the morning. Have him with you when you kneel beside your bed or wherever you have your devotions. Have him with you when you're driving in the car. Make sure he's with you when you're out in the world talking to unbelievers and strangers. Make sure, as the songwriter says, take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Take him with you. Put him on, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Colossians 3:10, Paul tells us that we have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The knowledge that we had as unbelievers before we were saved was not the knowledge to live a successful Christian life. We weren't even interested in that. As Bill was saying in Sunday school this morning, we were slaves to sin. We couldn't do anything but sin because we were slaves. We were owned by that old nature, by that old man. But now we've become new creatures in Christ. And so we can put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. The knowledge that is in the likeness of the image of Jesus Christ. So put on the idea of simply slip into that armor. Every day, just go out into the world thinking, you know, I have the helmet of salvation. I have the breastplate of righteousness. I have the girdle of truth. I have the shoes of the gospel of peace. I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I have the weapon of prayer continuously and constantly on my right hand. I have everything I need. I put it on. I consciously take notice of the fact that I am a Christian. I am a Christian soldier of the cross. And you can be victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ with that attitude. So put it on like a piece of clothing, the whole armor of God. Now, to illustrate, you say, what's the difference between having the armor? You say it's available to us the moment we get saved. It's God's armor. He gave it to us. Each piece is given to us to use in the spiritual battle. But even though I have it, access to it, I have access to it, I don't necessarily have it on every day, and I don't necessarily have what I need. Therefore, if I don't have on the armor of God, I don't have what I need to defeat the attack of Satan, the temptations of the flesh. So let me think about this just a little bit more. I have, over at the house, I have a whole closet full of clothing. It's my clothing. I want you to it's going to be a simple illustration, but I want you to see where I'm going with this. It's been given to me, or I purchased it. Most of it's been given to me. It's my clothing. It's in my closet. And every day I get up and I look in there and I say, okay, what am I going to wear? I'm going to put on something that's appropriate for what I'm going to do today. Or it's appropriate for what, you know, I'm going to be facing today. If it's hot and sunny outside, I'm going to choose something that's, you know, short sleeve, lightweight, comfortable. And I'm going to go on about my day because I've put on my clothing out of my closet. But if it's a cold, bitter winter day, I'm going to choose something that's a little bit heavier, right? I'm going to put on long sleeves, maybe a sweater or a jacket. And if it's bitterly cold out, I'm going to put on a heavy winter coat before I go outside. What happens if I go outside on a bitterly cold day and I chose not to put on my heavy winter coat? It's going to be nobody's fault but mine. It's mine. It's available to me. It's right there in the closet. All I have to do is what? Put it on. Put it on. I have all this spiritual armor. I have a whole suit of armor that's going to equip me to stand against the wiles of the devil and to hold my ground against him, but I've got to put it on. It's mine. It's available to me. But I can't walk out the door without it and say, oh, I don't think I'm going to put that on today. I don't think I'm going to need that today. That's when we're in trouble, right? When we think we are sufficient of ourselves to be a soldier for Christ, that's not going out into the world by God's grace. That's going out in ignorance. Oliver B. Green says, notice also that it says, wherefore, take unto you the armor of God, not make unto you the armor of God. And there's a world of difference. He says, man may make armor that looks very strong and capable of defending against the wiles of the devil, but the armor that we take by faith, as the Lord God provides, is the only armor that will defeat Satan. The way I see it, there are two things necessary before any believer can put on or take unto himself the armor of God. Number one, he needs knowledge. We need to know. We need to know with assurance. We need to know in our heart that God has given to us the armor. We need to know that we have the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we need to be fully assured of the fact that we are a child of God. We need to know we're saved. Listen again to these very important words from the Apostle John. In 1 John chapter 5, he says, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And then he says this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. That ye may know. Not only that you have eternal life, but that you have the whole armor of God. Friends, do you know that you have salvation today? Are you assured of that? Are you positive? If Jesus were to return today, and you know the possibility of that is very great, the closer we get to the rapture, the less time we have to get ready. Are you ready? Do you know that if Jesus were to come today, you would go to be with him? Do you know that you have the Word of God in your heart? Do you know that you have received the truth? Do you know that you have been clothed with Christ's righteousness? Do you know that you have peace with God? Do you know? Do you know? The first thing is knowledge. Do you know that you're saved? And the second thing to putting on and taking up for yourself the whole armor of God is faith. Faith. We're saved by faith. If you're saved, you have faith. You can't be saved without faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So through faith you believed, you trusted that Jesus Christ could and would save you. And so you called upon him. Lord, I believe you died for me. I know that you rose again from the dead. I know that you're at the right hand of God the Father. I know that if I call upon you, you will forgive me of my sin and you will adopt me into your family, as Bill was talking about in Sunday school. I know that. I exercise faith. I believe and trust in that for that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so through faith, you believed that Jesus Christ could and would save you. You believed. We need to know and we need to believe. Through faith you believed. Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. And when he was preaching in Antioch, he said, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Peter stood up at the Jerusalem council and boldly declared, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved. In John's gospel we read these important words, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. So if you have faith to believe that Jesus saved you, is it any harder to believe that he's going to keep you and protect you during spiritual battles? That your spiritual armor is going to be effective? That it's going to be sufficient? It's going to be what you need, exactly what you need and all that you need? Do you know that you are protected from the devil when you go out every day against him? Do you know you have God's protection? Do you know that your life is hid with Christ in God? Do you know that you are safe and secure with him? This is the victory of the Christian life, to know and believe these things are true. And so that's putting on the armor, just like slipping into a piece of clothing, to go forth in this world knowing and believing that God's armor is with you, and it's exactly what you need to have victory against the enemy. So the armor must be put on and taken up. The action is to withstand in the evil day. And you can. You can withstand. You can stand up and be strong and face the enemy. You can do that. Because why? Because it's not your strength. It's God's strength. It's Jesus Christ in you. He is all you need. His strength has been appropriated to you, and you receive it through obedience. You say, how do I do that? What do I need to obey? I need to know. I need to exercise my faith on what I know to be true. I know that he is with me. I know that he will never leave me nor forsake me. I know that he will be by my side. I need to know that I am upheld by the right hand of his righteousness. I know these things. That's obedience. And I need to obey by putting the armor on, by consciously being aware that I have everything in my arsenal that I need to face the enemy. I need to put it on and I need to take it up. And I need to do that every single day, because every single day since the fall of man has been the evil day. We are in the evil day because Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. He's the prince of the principalities and powers of the air. He is here on earth and active until he is bound and cast into the bottomless pit for the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And eventually he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, and where he will continue for all of eternity. But right now he is like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And so what do? We must resist the devil. James 4:4. We must withstand. Again, we're in verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand. That word withstand is the Greek word anthistemi. Anthistemi. And it simply means to stand against, to resist, to oppose Satan. To be strong and oppose him. Don't let him have his way with you. Don't use an excuse, oh, I'm so weak and I can't do anything, so I'm just not even going to try. We must resist the devil. James exhorts us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. A soldier doesn't just stand on the battlefield, but he uses his weapons. He uses his weapons against the enemy. And what are our weapons? The Word of God is our offensive weapon. And the, the sword of the Spirit and prayer. Prayer is an offensive weapon. When Jesus confronted Satan during those 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, he used the word of God and he prayed and trusted in his Father in heaven to help him. We must hold our position to stand. To withstand is to oppose, to use your weapons against him. To withstand is to hold your ground. We talked about this last week. A good soldier will stand his ground. He will not give up his position. He will put a circle around himself and he will defend that piece of real estate with his life and to the death. And so we must withstand. We must hold our position. And so the word stand at the very end of verse 13 is the word histemi. Histemi, withstand, ant histemi, and stand histemi. To remain firmly planted, to be unmovable. What does Paul say? Be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And to abide. John 15, abide in Christ and let his words abide in you. Stand your ground with the Lord Jesus Christ. I always think of that illustration that a professor in Bible college used to give us on that the idea of standing against the devil here in verse 13, histemi, and we get an English word from that. You've ever had a head cold or a sinus infection, and you get these little sinus pills and you take them, you know what they're called? Antihistamines. Anti means the opposite of. To stand, to be unmovable, you don't want to go anywhere, you don't want to move, that's histemi. But when you want this stuff to get out of here, anti-histemi. And that's where we get that term for getting your sinuses cleaned out and getting that stuff to move and get it to disappear and go away. A soldier doesn't want to do that. He wants to stand against. A good soldier will stand his ground. He will defend his position. So what do we need to do? We need to know what we believe. We need to know what we believe, and we need to practice what we know. Or as we sang, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I what? Stand. All other ground is sinking sand. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. The armor needs to be put on and taken up. The action is to withstand in the evil day. And the aim is to please God, to please the Lord. The whole armor of God was not just given us for today's battle, but for tomorrow's battles as well. Every day until Jesus comes must be filled with victory, not defeat. Not defeat. Finish well. Stand your ground. Don't give up. The world is falling apart. It's getting darker and darker every day. Evil is prevailing more and more. Satan is on the warpath. But stand your ground. And having done all to stand. You know, as David told Goliath just before delivering the fatal blow to the enemy, he says, all shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. You're in the Lord's army. The battle is the Lord's. And Paul, with victory in his voice, wrote to the Corinthians and said, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As I was preparing this message, the tune of a spiritual song came to my mind, and I found myself humming it all day long. Simple little song, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard how he loves you, that he'll abide till the end? We talk about knowing today, knowing and believing. Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're on your way to heaven? Do you know these things are true? This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son of God today? Do you know? Do you know you're on your way to heaven? He'll abide with you till the end. Would you like to meet Jesus? You know, there was a group of Greek folks who came to the Feast of Passover one year when Jesus and his disciples were there, and one of them found Philip and they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We'd like to see Jesus. We'd like to meet him. We'd like to know him too." Would you like to meet Jesus today? To sit down and ask him to allow you to come and sit at his feet for all of eternity, to become a part of his family, to be forgiven of your sins, to have the assurance that all is well with my soul. Would you like to meet him today? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? With that in mind, let's bow our heads and have a moment of prayer. And I'd like to ask each of you that question individually. Most of you sitting here this morning, you're my friends. You're my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. But I don't know your heart. I don't know what's on your mind today, what's in your thinking. I don't know your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. On the outside, on outward appearances, it would appear that most of you are saved. Most of you are Christians. Most of you have that faith that's going to take you to heaven. But in your heart, do you know? Are you sure that you're saved? There could be someone here today who's been assuming that you're saved because maybe way back in your past you prayed a prayer and you thought that praying that prayer was going to get you to heaven, or you joined a church and you got your name on the membership rolls of a church, or you attended Sunday school so many Sundays and your Sunday school teacher says, now you're a Christian. But have you ever invited Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins? Have you ever trusted in his shed blood on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins? Have you ever asked him to save you? If there's anyone here today, anyone at all, and you can't say, "Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life." If there's anyone here at all that says, "Pastor, I don't know. I just don't know. I hope I'm saved. I want to be saved. But I just don't know that I am." Would you slip up your hand and let me pray for you? God bless you. Anyone else? Father, I pray today for this individual who raised their hand. I pray, Lord, that this person might know before this day is over, that they might know that Jesus is their Savior and Lord. That they might know that he died for them. That death on the cross was personal. For God so loved the world, and you can put your name in there, Jim, Sally, Tom, Bill, whatever your name is, God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and again, that's you, put your name in there, whosoever believeth on him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. And everlasting means it's everlasting. It lasts forever. It never ends. God wants you to know for sure. He doesn't want you to live in fear or doubt or wonder. He wants you to know. He wants you to know my Jesus. He wants you to know my friend. Have you heard how he loves you? And that he'll abide with you till the end. Father, thank you for what you're doing here today. If there are others, maybe someone who was afraid to raise their hand, or someone who just isn't quite to that point yet where they're willing to make that commitment, I pray that you would help them to, before they leave this place today, think about how serious it would be to continue on day after day not knowing Jesus and realizing he could come at any moment. When Jesus comes, I'm prepared to go be with him. I'm prepared to leave this world and be caught up in the clouds and forever be with the Lord. I would not want to live another day not being ready for that meeting in the air. And neither do you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.